All kids will get one today. We just want to bless you guys with something to take home as a remembrance for Resurrection Sunday. I said it's Resurrection Sunday. Come on, somebody. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Come on. This is the day that the earth celebrates his coming from the grave. This is the day that we celebrate his defying death. Come on. This is the day that really marks for us the reality that he was what? He was the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. Let me say that one more time. He was the first fruits of the resurrection from the grave. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? That means that he, Jesus, was the very first one to rise from the dead. And in doing so, he was teaching us that we too will rise from the dead one day if we place our faith and our trust in him. We've all stood by the grave. Come on. We've all stood by the grave of someone that we held dear, haven't we? We've all stood at that place to us, that someone that was really special to us, someone that we love in an amazing way. Parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, close friends, partners, pals, fellow workers, brothers and sisters in Christ. We've all been at that place. Maybe you had to take off an hour from work or an hour or two to go to work, go to the funeral of someone. We've stood at that place. And we've had that troublesome time in our mind and our spirit. And we've all had those moments where we experience pain, we experience tears, and with empty feelings and broken hearts and questions racing through our heads. Questions like, why, God? Come on, why? Why did you let this happen? Questions like, how come such a freak accident? Why did you take them from us, Lord? Or why this cancer? Why this disease? I've been there too. My precious mother-in-law, I never will forget it, was snatched from this life at a young age, 53 years old, on her way to work on the last day. Somebody say last day. On the last day of her job she had worked at for so many years. She was only 2 miles from the workplace on her last day, because that was a Friday. And on a Monday, she was going to fulfill her dream. She was going to open her own business in Hertford, North Carolina. She was going to fulfill her dream. But on the way to that work site, the last day, a young man who was hauling narcotics for sale from Kinston, North Carolina, who was also under the influence of the same narcotic he was hauling, had a head-on collision with my mother-in-law. And when we got the call, you know, they went ahead and told us, no, it's over. She died instantly. You can rest assured she didn't suffer. He crossed the median and ran head on into my mother-in-law. Mother-in-law jokes are not funny anymore. They're not. And though we, like many others, have suffered loss, we never got answers to our questions. One thing we know is that the Bible is true. It's the one thing that we can know to be the truth, and it teaches us that Jesus was and is the one who has given us the powerful reminder that death, come on somebody, is not the end for the Christian. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's a reality. Zoe read it to us earlier this morning from Luke 24. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He was the first fruits of this thing we call coming from the grave. And your family and your friends and those who've died in Christ will also come out of their graves when the end of this age comes. Guess what? It's coming. It's coming. I've seen some amazing strides take place in the realm of the prophetic and the biblical truths that have come to pass, that we are so propelled so forward into the end of time. And the Bible tells us that for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will do what? Rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming back, friends. He's coming back. And he's coming back to take the church away, the blood bought, the born again, those who are saved, not their names just because it's on a church roster. Amen. He's coming back for people who are saved. A lot of folks in the church today, they don't have a relationship with God. Amen. Come on, let's be honest. Amen. If you go stand in a garage for 4 or 5 days, you don't just instantly become a car. So you can come in the building and sit here and smile and go through the motions and even put money in the plate. It doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God. Amen. So he's coming back for those who are ready, those who are looking for him. I love that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 to 58. I love it in the New Living Translation. It says like this: it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living also will be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then we, our dying bodies, have been transformed into bodies that will never die. The scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. I told the people at the sunrise this morning, I'm here because I want to be. I'm here because I need to be. I'm here because when we gather together like this with believers of like precious faith, my faith is strengthened. I feel better about myself. I feel better about my walk with God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Man, it's the least we can do. He gave you breath in your body, woke you up this morning. It's the least you can do. Somebody said, hey, isn't it early this morning? I said, hey, he got up for us. The least we can do is get up for him. Amen. Come on. It's worth it. It's worth it, my friends. This serving the Lord Jesus is worth it. If you don't know him, you can know him today. It's simple. It's opening your heart and asking him to come inside and rule and reign your life, because you can't do it on your own. He'll save you. He died for your sin, and he waits for you to invite him in your heart so that you can be reconnected, reunited with those who have died and gone on before in this life. Jesus is the one that brings the dead back to life. That's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning. I've titled a message today, When Dead Things Come to Life. When dead things come to life. Dead things come back to life. I want to look at John 11. It's a familiar story. A familiar story to most. It's a miraculous story. It's a resurrection story. It's a story that really, when I read it, it sounds like my story. Because I remember looking back in my life. I remember my former life. I remember my life before Christ, BC somebody. I remember that. I remember what motivated me. I remember how I was so into myself, and everything had to just be my way, and I just wanted to have fun, and time was short, and I wanted to, you know, eat, drink, and carry on, because tomorrow I might not be here. And I remember when God got a hold of me and changed my life. In some ways, this story is my story. And in some ways, guess what? If you're a born-again Christian, it's your story too. You and I, before Christ, we were, like Paul told the Ephesian believers, he said, we were what? Dead in our trespasses, our transgressions, and our sins, but God made us alive in Christ. Christ Jesus, even when we were what? Dead in our trespasses. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not from something that you do, it's what? It's a gift of God. So let's look at this miracle story, John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love, that word is phileo in the original language. You ever got behind a car in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, city of what? Brotherly love. How did Jesus love Lazarus? He loved him as if he were a brother. And when Jesus heard this, Jesus got the word. He heard this. The Bible says that what? Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. You see, sometimes when we go through things, and I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go through stuff, I like to murmur and complain. Anybody besides me? I like to say why, you know, and just mumble and groan. And And sometimes we forget the fact that God's doing something that he will get glory out of our lives. Come on. He says, no, it is for God's glory so that God's son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and he loved Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Come on, Jesus. Don't you know we need you? Did you catch that? When he heard about it, he just said, hey, just going to chill out here, not going to rush. And he didn't come back immediately. How many times have you called on God and didn't get an answer? How many times have you prayed and you just believed and people encouraged you and fanned your faith, and all of a sudden it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen? And you just trust God. Jesus heard about it. He stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and you're going back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. And if a person walks at night, they will stumble, for they have no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. He's fallen asleep. But I'm going there to wake him up. And his disciples replied, Lord, just let him sleep. He'll get better. They didn't get it. Jesus had been speaking, what, of his death. But his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, listen, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, somebody say for your sake. You see, you don't get it sometimes when you're going through the challenges. For your sake, for my sake. When we go through trials and tests and tribulations and hardships and challenges and circumstances too hard to try to imagine or explain, we can't see the reality of what God's doing behind the scenes. He said, for your sake, I was glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Let me just tell you this morning, we can already learn a few things from the Lazarus story. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were a family. I got together with my family yesterday. How many of y'all just kind of got together with family already? How many of you are going to get together with family today? Or, you know, we just get together as family. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were family. They were close, and guess what? They were known by God. Why do you say this, Pastor? Well, God knows everybody, but they also had the joy of having Jesus in their home on a regular basis. Bethany was not far from Jerusalem, just a mile and a half, according to the, just Google it, it'll tell you. Just a mile and a half. Siri, how far is Bethany from Jerusalem? Siri is a mile and a half. She'll tell you. How do you know? Because I looked it up before I preached this sermon. But I already knew because I was just there just a matter of weeks ago. And I was standing at the Mount of Olives, and Bethany is over here, and I'm standing right in Jerusalem right here. It's like walking from here to Bojangles. That's how far we're talking about. Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived right outside of Jerusalem in that little village called Bethany. And Jesus made his trek every day when he got up. He made his trek into Jerusalem, and he went to the temple, and he worshiped, and he also taught. People came out to listen. And then he would go back into Bethany. You say, well, why was he going to Bethany? Because he stayed at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were like family to God in the flesh. So they had a very special relationship. They were known by God. And Jesus enjoyed that relationship. And they saw Jesus heal the sick. They'd seen it before. They saw him speak to issues that simply just went away. They saw him do amazing things, incredible things. They saw him walking in the power of God. They knew that if Jesus was there when Lazarus was sick, guess what? The sickness would be no more. They had seen this before. So they were desperate. Lord, the one you love is sick. So don't you want to just come on now? But he didn't come. He just didn't respond that way. They knew that if Jesus would get there, he would be okay. And when Jesus did get back, Lazarus is already dead. In fact, he's been dead for 4 days. The Bible picks it up there in verse 16. It says, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, and Mary stayed at home. Lord, Mary said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. She's so frustrated. If you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. Listen, you know the status of death is something that's never changed. Dead in the Bible is the same as dead is now. There's a lot of things that have changed, but death has never changed. Dead today is the same as dead was then. Dead is dead. When you were dead, you were dead. When you were dead, you were not coming back. And Mary and Martha knew that Lazarus was dead. And in their frustration and disappointment, they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, you know, they've already moved into some sense of frustration / anger. Maybe be careful here / I'm getting bitter. How do you respond when the Lord doesn't do what you ask him the way that you wanted him to do it? And remember when the first words that Jesus said out of his mouth when he discovered that Lazarus was sick, what did he say? He said, this sickness will not end in death. But you, man, he's dead. Help me here. Jesus said this. This sickness will not end in death. Jesus knew the outcome before the decision was made to trek on back to Bethany. He knew the end of the story. That's the wonderful thing about God, beloved. Jesus knows your story. Some of you can get stuck in the chapter that you're in, but I'm telling you, Jesus knows the end of the book. He knows the end of the story of your life. Some of you sitting here today are hurting from issues that took place a long time ago. But can I just tell you something? It's not going to end in death. It's not. Because if you serve the Lord, listen, if you serve the Lord, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, Paul said it like this to the church at Rome, for we know that all things work together for what? For good to those that love the Lord. How can you find good out of snatching my mother-in-law away at 53 years old, the last day she was getting ready to work, her last day opening a new business on Monday? Why'd you let that happen, God? All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Some of you are saying, well, I wonder why the pastor's doing all this questioning God. Grandmama said we weren't supposed to question God. Grandmama was wrong. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You can question God all you want to, honey. It's not going to change his character nor his feelings about you. Elizabeth Elliot, the great missionary of husband Jim Elliot, lost her husband to death by the very people he was trying to share the love of Jesus with. It's on a movie. And she wrote a book. Billy Graham gave it away by the thousands many years ago called Trusting God in a Twisted World. It was free. All you had to do was write and ask for it. Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota, or in Canada, Manitoba. You've heard that before. All you had to do was ask and get the book. Trusting God in a Twisted World. And she devoted that book to the great question of why? Why did this happen? You never get your answers sometimes. And so we're submitting to you this morning on this resurrection day that, listen, this sickness will not end in death. Jesus is the one who knows the answer to it all. He knows why. Think about those three Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace. They were thrown in there. They were tossed in there. Why? Because they refused to bow down to an idol. And the furnace was turned up, what? 7 times hotter. And all we can say is, as I look in there, I see a fourth man, and it looks like the Son of God. Listen, this sickness will not end in death. You may be going through the fire yourself today, but if you trust in the Lord, you're going to win. You're in a win-win situation with Jesus. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel was thrown into a den of hungry beasts, and Jesus was there. Because he shut the mouths of those lions. Not a scratch. He caused a situation that looked as good as dead to do what? To come to life again. What was God saying to Daniel? Don't worry about it, Daniel. This situation will not end in death. When are you going to discover that God is looking at you, and even in your difficulty and in your hardship, you may think this thing is going to kill you. My husband walked out on me. He cheated on me. Somebody did something wrong to me. They lied to me. They stole from me. They changed the will. You may look at all those things, but Jesus looks at your situation and say, honey, this thing ain't going to end in death. Why? Because he is the only one that is able to speak to situations and turn them around for your good. What about Elisha? Elisha was surrounded by an army, so surrounded that even his servants said, what are we going to do? We're completely surrounded. But Elisha prays, and when he gets up and opens up his eyes, what does he say? There are more of us than there are of them. Why? Because he can see the destiny of God before him. What? The sickness will not end in death. God has you in the palm of his hand. He knows your very circumstance. Some of you may be here today and you're in the middle of a situation that doesn't look good. Maybe you're in trouble with the law. Maybe you're facing a guilty verdict. Maybe you're like me one time when I had to have a lawyer when I lived in Raleigh. I wasn't serving the Lord, and I had to have an attorney. And I said, man, I'm in a mess. I was in the courtroom that day, and I just listened to the same thing over and over and over again. Pow, guilty. Pay the clerk. Pow, guilty, guilty. I thought, dear Lord, how is this going to end? And My only advice that I received from the person handling my case was, he said, listen, when they ask you, how do you plead? I want you to say guilty. I said, but, he said, when they ask you how you plead, say guilty. I said, but, he said, are you going to do this or not? And I'm thinking, look at everybody who's getting canned in front of me. So I get up there just shaking in my boots in Raleigh, North Carolina. See, when you go to court in Raleigh, your case, every case in the room with you is by the same officer or the same prosecutor or whatever. They got like 20 or 30 courtrooms in there where we got one or two. And so I'm listening to all these guilties. And so I'm shaking in my boots, and they said, Mr. Phillips, how do you plead? I said, guilty. Guilty. He said, Madam DA, would you approach the bench, please? I thought, what's going on? Mr. Phillips, you may be dismissed. I said, what? You may be dismissed. Hallelujah! Guess what? This sickness will not end in death. I had to trust the very system in which I had purchased into. I had to trust it. I want to know the details. Ain't going to tell you. Okay? Ain't going to tell you. Guess what? It's under the blood. Well, I know somebody works in the law enforcement. I'm going to get them to run pastor's record. Nothing's there. Okay. Amen. Nothing's there. Didn't you hear Travis this morning? Nothing's there. That's the same way it is for you who've bought into this thing called Christianity, where you accept the blood of Jesus. When he looks at you and he sees all your guilt and your shame and your guiltiness, you know what he says? Nothing's there. You're free to go. This sickness will not end in death. You got to trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And you know what he will do? He will direct your path. It's hard to trust God. Can you imagine how Mary and Martha felt? They were a little ticked at the Son of God, Jesus. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't be dead. But Jesus had already made the statement. This sickness will not end in death. Maybe you're diagnosed with a sickness. Maybe you're here today and the doctor said this is what it is. You know, a couple of years ago, I guess, I went to Africa for the first time. And I remember the gentleman that was speaking to me. He was saying, in Africa, where I was in Ghana, we were in the city of Accra, and we went to an area that I can't tell you the stench in the air. I'd been to India. It was far worse than India. You could take your finger and stick it in your ear like that, and it looked like you just stuck it in a stovepipe. It was black. Just the air was so potent, so toxic. And he said, well, congratulations, Pastor Wallace. You're standing in the very community that is listed right now. He said, it changes sometimes, but you're standing in the most toxic community in the whole world. I mean, it was, words cannot describe what I saw with my own eyes. I thought, wow, well, I come back home and just a matter of weeks, I'm experiencing something in my arms, in my hands. I'm reaching out and I'm getting ready to take a swallow of this water and I go like this and I'm thinking, you know, pick it up. And my fingers wouldn't do what they were supposed to do. And Joy said, honey, something is not right here. I said, I know it. She said, how long has this been going on? I said, it's just started in the last few days. And I said, I know what to do. My brain is saying, squeeze it, pick it up. But it won't happen. So I went to the doctor. Three specialists from Greenville hooked me up to laptop computers and big machinery. And they're sitting there and they're just saying, Mr. Phillips, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a minister. Do you travel? I said, yes, I do. I travel. Have you ever been to Africa? I said, well, yeah, I just got back like 6-8 weeks ago. I saw one of them look at the other and kind of do his eyebrows like that. He said, sir, he said, I need to send you to another specialist. He said, you have somehow contracted a toxin in your body that attacks the central nervous system beginning in your shoulders, going down to your arms, and you're losing control of your fingers because the nerve endings are dying, they're going away. He said, I don't want to alarm you, but he said, have you ever heard of ALS? I said, yes, Lou Gehrig's disease, catfish hunter. I've heard of those things. He said, I want to be honest with you. He said, you don't have Lou Gehrig's disease, but the parallels are the very same. The only difference in Lou Gehrig's disease, no reversal, no healing. In the disease that you have, it can be stopped, but the reality of it is wherever we stop it, those nerve endings will never be repaired. They will never work again, but we can stop it from going any further. I sent the information to my wife. She looks it up on the computer. She calls me up. She says, honey, come to the office. I'm reading on. I said, I know. Don't be alarmed. I said, he told me not to worry about it. He's sending me to another specialist, and we talked about it. We prayed about it. Others were praying as well. And I'm waiting, like, the only appointment I could get with this other specialist who was supposed to have a higher ability, a level of ability to deal with this toxin and this disease. He says, you will have to see him. And so we go there. Joy goes with me. They do the same thing again. They hook me all up. And the guy just, he steps back and he starts shaking his head. I said, Doc, what is it? He said, I'm looking at the screen here. He said, you don't have that. I said, what? He said, you don't have it. I said, but the diagnosis. He said, I have the diagnosis right here. I understand that. But I'm telling you this day, Pastor Phillips, you don't have it. It's gone. Okay? It's gone. Can I just tell you something? Come on, speak to your own situation. Raise your hands up this morning. This sickness will not end in death. The power of life and death is where? In your tongue, in your mouth. Have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and believe in your heart and do not doubt. This sickness will not end in death. If you're sick this morning, I know what the doctor said, but I also know Jesus who came out of the grave on this resurrection Sunday, and he can speak to your situation. He can turn things around. He is a way maker, miracle worker, blind man healer. God can do all things. Through Christ, I can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe? Do you believe? You may say, well, I'm not sick, but I'm sick emotionally because of what my wife did to me 10 years ago. I don't care what your sickness is, honey. It will not end in your death. You can allow the Spirit of God to strengthen you this resurrection day and believe him for the impossible. Maybe you're in a relationship that's gone south. Your mate has walked out on you and you don't feel like you'll ever be successful in marriage. The Bible is still true. It's not good that man should be alone. It's not good that a woman should be alone. Well, I don't know if I can trust again. Well, the first one you have to trust is Jesus. And by the way, if you're looking for a husband or a wife, make sure they love Jesus more than they love you. Because if they don't love Jesus more than they love you, they won't know how to love you to start with. This sickness will not end in death. I'm telling you, on this resurrection morning, you can't lose with Jesus. He's the risen Savior. You can't lose with the Christ. You may say, but my marriage ended years ago, but I'm declining in my health and the diagnosis, or the lawyer doesn't give me much hope in my case. I'm telling you, Jesus has the final say. He knows the outcome. I will trust Him and Him only. Throw yourself to the mercy of Christ, who on the cross of Calvary just 2 days ago on a Friday stretched out His voice and said, what? It is finished. The things that you're struggling with, He's already died for. He's already shed His blood for. All we have to do is trust Him. Trust Him. Have faith in God. Faith pleases God. Look at the Lazarus story a little more. Martha says to Jesus, verse 22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus is probably thinking at this point, this sickness will not end in death. Okay, He's probably thinking, she's getting it now. Okay, she's getting it now. But I know that even now, because I've watched you, we're good friends and all that, and you love my cabbage and ham, whatever she gave him. I don't know what she gave him. I know you like to eat out, but I know you. I've watched you. I've heard about you. I've seen you. But I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, sister, your brother's going to rise again. She says, oh, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection the last day. She still don't get it. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who's come into the world. Can I tell you, He is the resurrection and the life. How many times this morning has Jesus brought life to your soul, your body, your marriage, your finances, your relationships? He's the only one that could breathe life into your dead situations. Look at what it says in verse 41. So they took away the stone. Lazarus is buried in the same manner as Jesus. They didn't dig holes in the ground. They carved out places in the side of the mountains, which are rocky. They're called tombs. So they roll the stone away. Jesus looks up to the Father. Says, Father, I know you've heard me. I know you heard me when I said, this sickness will not end in death. And I can see him just walking over here toward the grave. He says, I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Remember, Jesus had already made this statement, this sickness will not end in death. Verse 43, when he said this, Jesus calls out in a loud voice. Somebody say loud voice. Lazarus! Come out! That's about as loud as I can get this morning. And guess what? Lazarus comes out with his Sunday best on, man, clothed in his right mind. He's coming out of that grave, even though he had been stinking, even though he'd been dead and the body's already begun to break down. He comes out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let the man go. And he goes free. As we come to a close today, I'm speaking to some of you today that desire to place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus. Some of you sitting here already, you've had faith arise in your spirit. You heard the testimony of healing. You heard the encouragement from the Word. And you're saying to yourself, you're speaking to yourself, if He could do that for him, I know He can do it for me. You see, that's faith. It's arising in your heart. And you have to place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus, the risen, resurrected Son of God, who brings dead things to life. Some of you sitting here have some things that you just believe are dead. They're just dead. I'm not going to get any better. I've I've had people tell me that, well, Pastor, I'm not going to get any better, and I've just come to grips with that. Be careful how you prophesy over yourself. Okay? Come on now. I've just come to grips with I'm not going to get any better. Oh, wow. I've just come to the conclusion that maybe I'm just going to be single the rest of my life. Be careful how you prophesy over yourself. Pastor Joy and I were riding down the road. I was talking about my message this week, and I said, you know, I want to share hope Sunday morning. I want to share hope. A pastor friend of mine called me just a few weeks ago, and he said, hey, want to hear some good news? I said, sure. He said, I've got a wedding on Saturday. And I could tell we were talking on the phone. I could feel the smile through the phone. I said, you got a wedding? He said, yeah. He said, precious man. He said, the groom is 85. The bride's 83. So, he said, you know, one of them had a mate to die. Several years they lived alone. The other one had a mate to die. He said, you know, it's kind of funny when you make your way to the rehearsal. He said, we had the rehearsal. We had to have it like twice because they were like, now where am I supposed to stand? So we go through rehearsal, and he said, it's just so sweet. He said, they just love each other. And he said, they just refuse to, you know, say, you know how it is when you say, well, you shouldn't let the bride really go through it. That's just superstition. He said, we ain't worried about that, honey. We trust in Jesus. Can we go ahead and kiss one time? He said, isn't it such a joy that they had already considered that at 85, 83, it was not going to be any more loving relationships in their life. He said, I'm so excited, man. Can't wait till Saturday to say, dearly beloved, we're joined together in the sight of God in this company to unite this couple together in holy matrimony. You know what? They trusted Christ, and they heard the Lord say to them, this sickness shall not end in death. I'm looking at a sister right here on the second row that the testimony just a few weeks ago, Pastor Randy said, I'm in the hospital room. He said, her arm is just like a spaghetti noodle, man. He said, it's just hanging there. He said, the therapist come in. Randy said, how can you give therapy on something that doesn't respond? But he said, we're praying, we're believing. Sister came to church this morning, I shook her hand, she squeezed it. I said, wow. She said, yeah, look at here. And she holds that arm up like that. See, look at, go ahead, raise your hand, sister. That's the one right there, hanging like a spaghetti noodle. I said to Pastor Joy, I said, Joy, have you ever heard of situations like this? Can it happen that God, can it possibly happen that maybe she could use that arm again? She looked at me, she said, oh yes, it can happen. How many of you know with God all things are possible? Come on, come on. With God all things are possible. Could I have some pastors, ministers, you know who you are, come and just line this altar here this morning, this Easter Sunday. Come on, somebody say, the pastor's almost done and it's 11:25. We're not here to hold you all day. I've said what I got to say. You have plenty of time when you leave here to spend time with your family and get something to eat. But right now, I want these ministers to face you, because there are some of you that are sitting here and you need that word this morning, this sickness shall not end in death. Okay? Would you say that with me? This sickness shall not end in death. Come on, one more time. This sickness shall not end in death. Now, that sickness may be, in fact, a diagnosis. It may be some issue with your finances. It may be something going on in relationship area. It may be any kind of thing. This sickness shall not end in death. I wish I could get somebody just to believe with me this morning that God is going to do something supernatural today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.